Hello and welcome to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. My name is Patrick Rice. We have a very unique and special show for you today. This is one of the few times that we're going to be breaking from our regular format. This show is a testimony to the power of Jesus to break through into impossible circumstances. Today, we have on the show with us my dear sister in Christ, Melissa Pallotta, whose faith knows no circumstances that are bigger than the name of Jesus. After her daughter was dead with no heartbeat or breathing, she stormed heaven with prayer and her daughter was raised from the dead. This prompted an amazing ministry of faith to see God break through into more impossible circumstances. Before we go any further, we're going to start off in prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we love you, we praise you, we lift up your holy name. Jesus said in John 14:12, amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I'm going to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything of me in my name, I will do it. Father, I pray that every listener listening right now would have an increased faith, that there would be a gain of what you can do in their life, in their circumstances. I declare in the name of Jesus that there is no circumstance greater than what God can do, because he is Lord of all, over the spiritual and the physical. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. So today, I do not have Dan with me. As our listeners know, this is a Dan Demite and Patrick Rice hosted show, but Dan is not able to be here, so you just get me. But I still say praise God. I want to spend a little time bragging about God. I want to brag about what God is doing in the church right now. Recently, I was part of a movement. Actually, it was a mission called Love Dayton, where 65 churches, including the Catholic Church, the Archdiocese of Cincinnati, which has authority over Dayton, joined together in what has become the largest evangelization initiative to bring the gospel of Jesus to the city of Dayton, Ohio. All right, there were millions of dollars that went into this. The entire convention center was rented. 400 to 600 volunteers during the course of this time participated in service projects around the city. They went door to door to every house in the inner city. No agenda, no proselytizing, just proclaiming Jesus. The new evangelization is bringing people that know about Jesus to actually know Jesus, to encounter him. That's what we are doing, to bring people to know Jesus, the power of his love, and to gather for the sake of the gospel. So basically, I want to share, Love Dayton was amazing. It was led by a ministry called Global Awakening, which is headed by Randy Clark. That name might be familiar to some of you. But Global Awakening was not connected with Dayton. They connected with the churches in Dayton to bring people together for this. There were two full days of both service projects and then teams of eight going door to door, literally through every area in the inner city of Dayton. They trained up, Global Awakening trained up the leaders, the ministry team, to basically to go door to door to do essentially street evangelization. There was on the third day, they planned a block party, which was in the center of the city. There were zip lines, inflatables, free food, you name it, tons of entertainment. And then after this block party, they had this gospel healing meeting, which they invited anyone who needed a miracle, who needed healing from Jesus, to come and pack the convention center that was right next to it. So basically, I got the chance to join we had a Catholic ministry team that was a part of it, and we joined our Christian brothers and sisters, and we went door to door. And we were actually trained to pray for anyone that needed healing right on the spot and to lead them to know Jesus, to invite Jesus into their life, to commit their life to Christ or recommit their life to Christ. And my brothers and sisters, I kid you not, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That when he sent the apostles out to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to proclaim the gospel, we did the same thing. We went to houses and we invited them to this citywide the citywide picnic, this block party, and then we asked them, "Do you have any pain or sickness in your body?" And they were like, literally, so many people were like, "Yeah, I've got oh my gosh, I've got this crazy jaw pain. I've got like crazy back pain. I don't know, like my I can't move my arm all the way. I broke my rotator cuff. I tore it. And then we just said, could we pray for you right there? And I'm not kidding. Like my team saw at least 40 people claim that their condition that they were that they said was the health problem was gone after prayer. And then right after that, we were able to say, do you know that it was Jesus who healed you? Would you like to invite him into your heart more? No matter where they are, we didn't know. And they pretty much 95% of the people were saying, yeah, I'd like to do that. And so we led them in a prayer to commit their life to Christ. It was like the book of Acts coming alive. And the great thing was, it wasn't just that. It wasn't just a few people doing it. It was the whole church coming together. The church teaches in the catechism that through baptism, we become part of the body of Christ. And so we proclaim that other Christian communities that have baptism are part of the Catholic Church. There's only one church. Jesus is coming back for one church. So we got together. And so I want to talk about ecumenism a little bit right here before we bring Melissa onto the show. All right. So ecumenism is a theological term that represents the call of the church to bring unity to all Christians. Okay. It's a theological term, represents the call of the church to bring unity of all Christians. This comes straight from our Lord. Our Lord in John 17, this is his final prayer. It was the prayer of a dying man, the prayer of a man that was about to go get crucified. And in John 17, he makes a prayer straight to the Father. And this is what he says. He says in verse 20, I pray not only for them, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. He's talking about the apostles. He's not just praying for his 12 apostles. He's praying for everyone who will believe in me through their word. We believe in Jesus because of the witness of the first apostles. So Jesus is praying for us. And he said, I pray that they might be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. So Jesus has prayed that all of his disciples would be one. Jesus never desires that there be schisms, fragmentations. He wants unity. What kind of unity? Like Jesus and the Father have unity. There's no separation there. So the ecumenical call that the church has is the call, the command of Jesus to make us one. So this is a major part of Catholicism, and I'm sorry if you're listening and you say, I don't see the church doing this. I'm sorry, I'm doing it. So I invite you to do that with me, okay? And the Archdiocese of Cincinnati boldly did that. And I mean, there are people saying, when I was growing up, Catholics and Protestants were separate. They were the enemy. And now we say, no, we need you. The eye cannot say to the hand, like Paul says, I have no need of you. They're part of the body of Christ. We need them. Why do we need them? Jesus says, so that the world may know that I came from the Father. That they may know that I came from the Father. When we're divided, we lose. We lose our credibility to bring Jesus and proclaim him on the earth. So we do everything we can to come together. So the Catechism of the Catholic Church, in paragraph 820 and 821, talks about this mission of the church, okay? And I'm going to just kind of read this and comment on it a little bit. So Catechism 820 says that Christ always gives his church the gift of unity, but the church must always pray and work to maintain, reinforce, and perfect the unity that Christ wills for her. This is why Jesus himself prayed at the hour of his passion and does not cease to praying to his Father for the unity of all disciples, quote, that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I am in you, that they also may be one in us, so that the world may know that you have sent me. The desire to recover the unity of all Christians is a gift and a call of the Holy Spirit. My brothers and sisters, you have a call from God in Christ Jesus to bring unity to all Christians. It's a gift, all right? And I pray that word will be a seed, both from Scripture and from Catechism, coming together and planted in your heart. I pray that in Jesus' name. And then the next paragraph says this, paragraph 821. Am I going too fast, Dave? Dave, can they hear me? Do I need to slow down? You can't hear Dave, but I'm going to slow down a little bit, all right? So 821 says that this is what we need to do, okay? Here's what it doesn't say. It doesn't say we need to tell everyone else they're wrong, okay? It says these following things, okay? 821 says that we need a permanent renewal of the church. We need to be permanently renewed in our vocation, our calling. And this renewal is a driving force toward unity. So if you're not part of renewal in the church, okay, you're not going to help out this call to unity. There's the second thing, conversion of heart. We need to become holy without blemish. If we're not holy, we become a scandal in the church. The third thing, we need to pray in common. We need to pray in common. What does that mean? There needs to be ecumenical events where we pray with other disciples outside the Catholic Church. That's what happened in Love, Dayton. There is renewal. There's conversion of heart. All right. And there is prayer in common. We need to have, fourthly, fraternal knowledge of each other. That means we need to be friends with, you need to be friends and make friends with other Christians. There needs to be ecumenical formation of the faithful, especially of priests. So you need to be formed to know how to do the things of unity. Next, there needs to be dialogue, okay, with other Christians. Unless we're having dialogue, this is not going to happen. And finally, collaboration among Christians in service to the common good, all right? So we need to collaborate. And I'm looking at this. This is exactly what happened at Love, Dayton. All seven of these pillars of ecumenism that the church called us to happened at Love, Dayton. And the coolest thing is, we didn't even organize it, all right? Global Awakening organized it, and they were doing exactly what we're called to do. So I thank God for the gift of Randy Clark and Love Dayton for making that happen. So this involves the whole church. And finally, in 822, this cannot be done by human power. The unity of the church can only be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. So where the power of the Holy Spirit is, there is unity. So I pray that I just pray that touches your heart, okay? So after Love, Dayton, I became convinced that God is truly desiring to break down barriers of fear that exist between Christians of different traditions, all right? We don't have to be afraid. We have the fullness of all truth, okay? There's nothing that we need to be afraid of, all right? There's only the gift of God and the answering the call that we would all be one, that the world would know, all right? Unless we fly united, okay, the world's going to be divided. Today is, I hope, we're going to have on... Melissa Pallotta. She was part of the ministry team of Love Dayton, okay? And what I saw in her, she shared her testimony to me. God, I feel like God connected us, just brought us together. She had her whole family there ministering. Basically, of the 400 to 600 people that were there ministering at different times, there was only one family that was there the entire time ministering. I'm talking husband, wife, four kids from like 19 to 10, and they were all there doing the stuff of the gospel, and it blew me away. I was immediately attracted to this family, and when I got the chance to meet them, she shared a testimony, okay, of God breaking into the impossible, and the Holy Spirit told me that she needs to share this with our listeners here all throughout Central Ohio. Just like the angel said to Mary, nothing is impossible for God. Her testimony brings that incarnationally into our life. So, Melissa, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Yay. We're all together. She's in the studio with us. We have amazing sound quality. So, Melissa, after we met at Love, Dayton, I heard your testimony. My faith in Jesus and what he can do broke the ceiling. I mean, there's times where, like, your faith, it can go so high, and then there's, like, a ceiling. You're like, oh, man, I'll never be able to, like, see people healed. And then you see someone healed, and boom, it comes open. Yeah. And then there's this, you know, boom, I Jesus said, you know, preach the gospel, you know, heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead. And I'm like, wow, I'd love to see the dead raised. Mm-hmm. And then, boy, I meet someone that does, and I'm like, boom, you know? So, yeah, we're talking about the gospel. So, Melissa, you heard what I experienced at Love, Dayton. What did you see God doing? Can you tell me?
For me, it was just amazing, especially because what you're talking about is being with our family all together. We're ministering together. It's just going door to door, meeting the people on the streets. We had a couple crazy encounters.
Can you
share
like one or two encounters? This is cool.
Well, I mean, it's just showing the love of God in the middle of maybe a gang altercation. We actually had an experience where we were at the community center, and there was some heated moments between two families. And we actually got to break in and try to minister to them before it really got heated.
Blessed are the peacemakers.
Yes, we were trying to cause that peace to come. So
that's awesome. Yeah. Wow. And I didn't get to share like any specific stories, but we knocked on the door, and there was a woman that, you know, she had kind of visible. She looked like she's visibly in recovery from drug addiction. Mm-hmm. So many people we met were in recovery from addiction. And this is just, the epidemic became real when I met someone whose husband just died. But this woman, I asked, you know, I told her about the block party. She was like, oh, that's really cool. And then I said, okay, there's a healing service too. Do you have any pain or you know, issues in your body? And she said, yeah, I had my jaw. It's like a chronic pain. I had surgery. They messed it up. I'm not going back in. And I said, well, can I pray for you right now? And me and this Methodist Korean pastor that we're paired up together, I said, can I lay hands on you? All right. And I prayed. I said, you know, I bind this pain. Father, release heaven's healing over her jaw in Jesus' name. And then she looked up and I said, okay, can you check it out? Move your jaw around. And she said, oh, pain's down. Wait a minute. I can't feel it. And then she's like, wait a minute. Is this in my head? And then she starts moving around and she's like, I don't feel pain. What just happened? I'm like, Jesus just healed you. Have you given your life to him? She says, no, and I don't want to. It scares me. And I said, well, why would you want, why does it scare you? And she said, because she gave her reasons of, you know, I'm afraid of what he wants me to do. And I said, listen, if you give your life to Jesus, it doesn't mean that you have to change right away. It means you're inviting him to come into your mess. I said, are you in recovery right now from, you know, she's like, yeah, I'm in recovery of heroin addiction. I said, if you give your life to Jesus and invite him into your life, he's going to help you through that. He's going to help you through the mess. He's not going to force you to do anything. Okay. He wants to help you. And she's like, yeah, I'd like to do that, because the church has been speaking this word of what it means to commit your life to Christ, and it scared people. And when she got healed and realized, wow, that same grace is going to come into my life, she committed her life to Christ, and we're able to tell her, invite her to this service, and reconnect her with her roots. So it was awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So can you tell us about how you first came to know Jesus?
It was kind of through the back door. So when I grew up, I wasn't in the church at all, so during that time, I was not understanding the love of God at all. I mean, I had no idea. I think that I heard about, you know, Jesus on occasion, maybe at Christmas, or, you know, singing Christmas carols during Christmas, or, you know, maybe heard something just randomly about him. But I really had no idea what it was about. I had no idea what the church was about. But I was definitely having spiritual encounters. So, but when I probably around 2 or 3 was when my first revelations of that spirit beings were real. And I actually thought that everybody else saw the same way I did.
What did you see?
So I would see what I know now is I would see demons. So I would see them a lot in my bedroom. I would see them a lot in one room in our house that we lived in New Jersey. I would have encounters with them, and they actually kind of befriended me. So it's kind of the child that has the friend, that ex, you know, this is my friend over here.
Yeah, like my imaginary friend's a demon.
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. So, you know, I had that imaginary friend, and through the years, they just became uglier and uglier. Like at first they were beautiful, because it says in the word that they come like an angel of light.
Yeah.
So they befriended me, but then through the years, they became uglier and uglier. And so I had this revelation one day that if demons are real, if this is really a demon, then there has to be angels. And if there's angels, then there has to be a God.
Wow.
And so that's kind of how I was saved through the back door.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, so you became committed. So, you know, what happened as you grew up? You keep seeing these demons.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
How did that manifest?
Sometimes, you know, truly the children that have the monsters under their bed, well, that's basically, I was tormented my whole life.
So you're tormented?
Yes, in fear, lots of fear, fear of the dark, you know, fear of being alone, those kind of fears, yeah.
So when did you first break through then? Like, how did this stop? This stopped, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the torment definitely stopped. It stopped pretty much, I was around 26 years old, and I was in sales and in the car a lot, and I couldn't listen to the noise of the world anymore, because I'm in my car most of the day. So I would start listening to Christian radio.
Nice.
And
you're listening to it right now,
yes,
everybody.
Yes. And so while I was listening to Christian radio, I got saved.
Wow.
And the torment literally stopped.
So basically you invited Jesus into your heart in the car.
Yes.
You didn't have to go to a giant Coliseum or stadium.
No.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Really quick, we're going to take a break right now. You're listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. And when we come back from this break, we're going to have Melissa back on to share the meat, the heart of her testimony. So stay tuned. Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. We have on the show with us today Melissa Pallotta, who was just radically transformed by the love of God and sent into impossible circumstances. So, Melissa, you just share with us how you came to know Jesus listening to Christian radio.
Yay.
So, Father, we just bless Catholic radio and
yes.
everyone listening right now. And then also, tell us about what happened next. I know you're married at the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And your husband, he's really sick. Can you
yes.
tell us about that?
Yeah. So my husband was really sick and we really couldn't figure out what was going on with him. Been to many doctors, chiropractors, all different types of medicine, actually, just trying to seek out what was wrong with him. Went to the Cleveland Clinic. They were pretty dumbfounded. They couldn't really figure out what was wrong with him. So it was just, a matter of time.
And they gave it, what kind of name did they give this thing?
We're not really sure, but it was MCSEI, which is multiple chemical sensitivity and environmental disease.
That's kind of a scary term.
Yeah. So he basically was becoming allergic to the world and his body. He couldn't, eat a lot of food. He was down to 125 pounds. And
wow.
If you met him, he's probably 185 now.
Yeah.
So, he was teeny. And so we heard about a healing ministry actually in Cincinnati. And for our last hope, we went and he received prayer and was healed.
Wow.
It was radical.
Come on. And this is new to you. You're like, you didn't know this stuff happened. And you heard about it and you're like, I'm going.
Well, and we read about, I read the Bible
yeah.
and I'm going to church and I was very confused, I'm going, in the Bible, it says all these things, Jesus would lay hands on the sick and they would recover, but it wasn't happening. And so I was a little confused about that. So I was very excited when we found out about this place.
So you're like, wow, the Bible's real.
Yay.
The
it's
word
real.
Is alive. That's how did your home church respond to that?
They didn't receive it very much. We were actually kind of told to be quiet and to not talk about the healing. And I was pretty hurt and I was immature too. So
yeah.
I didn't really know how to handle it very well. Eventually, we were led. We didn't ever leave that church in a negative sense,
mm-hmm.
But I was still very hurt by
mm-hmm.
them. But we ended up finding another church that was incredible.
Okay. So how did you first encounter the Holy Spirit then? Because you're a believer. But
yes.
Your relationship with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. So we went to an evangelist was in town. And so I walked in the room and I was like, oh my gosh, this guy knows all my stuff. Not really realizing that it actually was the presence of God that was there that was convicting my heart of my sin. And so I was pretty nervous the whole day. And then when we finally went to go release the babysitters, my husband and I had to do a split shift. So I went home to release the babysitter. And while I was in the car, the presence of the Lord came into my car. The Holy Spirit filled
my
car.
Wait, so you left early before they did prayer?
Yeah. I was running.
Okay, you ran away.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh, this guy can't know all the bad stuff I've done. No way. Uh-uh. So I was in the car and the Holy Spirit came and he filled me to overflowing to the point where when I got home, I couldn't really walk. I was pretty.
You're
was
just under the on the joy of the Spirit, the new
joy,
wine.
The new wine was there.
Yes,
and I didn't really understand that either.
You had no context for this.
No context at all. And then the next day, the Holy Spirit prompted me to read Acts.
Wow.
So and I went, oh my gosh, it's in there. Oh my gosh.
Right.
Yes.
The day of Pentecost. Are these people not drunk? And they're like,
yes.
No, it's only 9 in the morning.
Yes.
Yes.
I was feeling that.
That's amazing. So tell us about your daughter, Gianna.
Gianna.
I have a Gianna too.
I know. Isn't that great?
Yeah, I love it.
I barely know anybody with their child with that name. I know. So I think it's great.
We're making a comeback.
We are.
Or just a new thing. All right, keep going. So Gianna.
So I am a birth attendant. So I attend births and I do home births. So I had my children at home. And this, so to get some context again, so obviously my husband was healed. And so we are now praying for people to receive healing. When, I guess I didn't realize this at the time, but when you've been healed, people find out about it and come to you. So we were getting calls all the time. Will you come and pray for us? And we were seeing the Lord do amazing things. So watching people get out of wheelchairs with MS and blind eyes opened and deaf ears and just watching the Lord heal everyone.
Yes.
And so we were in this place. So I had Gianna, and when she was born, I knew there was some difficulty. She was having difficulties. Now, not living, but she, I could tell she wasn't ticklish. There were other things about her that were really, you know, showing me that there was something wrong. So I was having problems breastfeeding while my breastfeeding consultant. I mean, I know what's going on. And so, you know, as she began to grow, we realized that there was something definitely not quite right. But the Lord was just telling us to pursue Him. Not that I think doctors are wrong or anything, because I don't, but we really were in this place where we felt like that we just needed to trust the Lord. So as she grew, she's now 4 and a half, and she could not really talk. She had a couple words, but they never made any sense. She never called me mommy or, you know, had any communication. She couldn't color. She couldn't play. I mean, a 4 and a half year old is, you know, trying to rule the roost.
Yeah.
And she couldn't color. She couldn't do anything. She could just maybe watch TV. She smiled. She would have this smile that would bring great joy to you. And she loved stealing people's shoes. So, but that was about it.
So she was basically mute, like not able to speak really.
Well, she could, I mean, she had words, but they really didn't make
She wasn't able to make those connections.
Yeah, she made no sense. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I know what happened, like there was a, you know, a traumatic experience. Can you tell us about that?
So there was a family across the street who was suffering. They were having a lot of difficulty in life. And I was praying for the wife for like 3 weeks. And I saw her outside, and she was going for a walk, and that was very unusual for her because she was an alcoholic. And so I went up to her and said, "Lori, what's going on with you?" And she said, "Well, you know, I was going to kill myself today." And I was like, "Whoa." So I actually prayed for her, took her through deliverance.
Wow.
She got saved.
Wow.
It was amazing. So 3 weeks later, her son and I, or her son and herself, came over to say, "Hey, I bought a Bible, and we're going to church." And the son's like, "What'd you do to my mom, Mrs. Pilato? She's not drinking anymore." And I'm like, "Honey, that's Jesus. Jesus came and ministered to your mom." And so in that moment, we were all praying and talking together, and we were sharing things. Zach was asking us some questions about life. And we're all outside. Gianna's on our front porch. She's having a snack. And while she's eating her snack, we're talking to Zach about heaven and hell and life or death. And basically, you just have to pick.
Yeah.
You just have to pick. And my husband said it to him, "Zach, it's heaven or hell. It's life or death. You need to pick, son." And right when he said that, Gianna choked on her food. And so we, and she died. We could not revive her. And during that time, so, you know, I was just praying. And the Lord told me, pray in the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
Pray in the Holy Spirit. Don't pray in your understanding. Pray in the Holy Spirit. And I had all my kids doing the same thing. So we were praying and just believing. And as she's there, and I know this sounds graphic, but she was totally gray, in cardiac, full cardiac arrest, frothing at the mouth. You know, there was no life left in her.
How long do you think she didn't have a heartbeat?
Gosh, you know, I don't even know.
Yeah.
I mean, but it was just a very chaotic time, you know. But my husband heard from the Lord, and he said, "Breathe the breath of life in her again." I mean, we've been doing mouth to mouth. That does nothing when there's a child in cardiac arrest. You know, it doesn't help.
Yeah.
So, but he said, "Just try one more time. Breathe the breath of life like I breathed into Adam." And he did. And she came too.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how did she come too?
She just came to and started throwing up, and it was, you know, it was pretty It was a pretty amazing thing. I was in shock, you know, the kids were all in shock. And so then we called the ambulance. And, you know, at this point, I knew God moved in, and it was radical. So my husband went to the hospital with her to make sure that she was okay. And I literally knew God had done something so incredible, I didn't even go to the hospital right away. I stayed back and ministered to these two, and the boy got saved.
Wow.
I couldn't even leave.
But by the way, for our listeners, the term God saved means just accepting Jesus in your life, inviting him into life. And that's good. Thanks, Melissa.
So anyway, so during that time, you know, we went down to the hospital, and I knew there was an anointing, you know, that God was there. He wanted to heal people. He wanted to do that for them. And so I went down to the emergency room and actually prayed for everybody that was in there, and people were getting healed. And then I didn't even see my daughter about 4 hours. And I went to see her, and I looked at her, and I would talk to her even though she couldn't answer me. And I looked at her and I go, Gigi, because like we call her Gigi. Mm-hmm. Gigi, what happened? And she goes, Mommy, for the first time. She called me Mommy. And she goes, Mommy, the lions, they were chasing me on the front lawn, and then one bit me in the neck and wouldn't let go, and then they left, and I was happy again. And I'm like in shock. She calls me Mommy.
Oh my gosh.
And then the Lord says, the devil comes like a roaring lion seeking to devour. And later we found out that the word for devour means to suffocate.
Wow. So your daughter's talking.
Talking.
Her conditions
talking.
Are gone.
Yes.
Wow.
Completely talking to me. I'm in shock. The next day was even more incredible, because one thing that we did was we were believing God for her healing. So on her second birthday, I bought her a baby carriage, a doll in a car seat, sitting there waiting with diapers and everything in my living room. It never left. It sat there under the window. I knew one day that she was going to play. Because she wouldn't play.
Yeah.
So the next day she woke up, and the first thing she did was she went to that stroller and she took the baby out and started playing with it.
Wow. Okay. So do you know the condition, or was there a name that what she had?
Yes. So she had something called Williams syndrome, which is kind of like Down syndrome. So they all look, they have the same look about them. They all have same physical features. Mm-hmm. And also, they have what's called starburst eyes. So they either have blue eyes or green eyes, and they have these big dark brown lines running through them. Little round faces, their fingers and their toes all curl up. And she was extreme. So she was on the extreme level of...
And then the lack of functioning like you talked about.
Yes, yeah.
So, I mean, I feel like, Melissa, sometimes we hear these diagnoses, these labels, and then all of a sudden we're like, oh my gosh. And then our faith for healing goes down. And like, if you're out there, I feel like there's listeners. When the Lord told me to really bring you on this show, that there's so many, what you think are impossible circumstances that God can't bring healing, that you have to possess these things. I think the Lord is just saying, this is a season that we don't have to possess the works of the works of the devil.
Yes.
Like Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And then, the Bible talks about he healed all. You know, pressed by the devil. And so I just pray that there be a renewed faith just imparted into the ears of all of our listeners, that not to give up hope and to seek the power of God for healing, and that your daughter's testimony from that healing has become the seed of faith in people all around you and me right now. Thank you. Thank you, God. So can you all tell us, like, was this the only time you prayed for somebody raised from the dead?
No. And actually, the Lord started to tell me very early on in my relationship with him that this would be something that I would do. So he would build my faith starting out. I know this sounds really strange to some people, but literally praying for animals. So, kind of the joke in our family, I have a 12-passenger van with all these children, and we would, see like an animal.
And you're homeschooling mother, right?
Yes. So we were driving down the road. We'd see, an animal on the side of the road, and literally we'd all pray, God, raise him from the dead,
Wow.
And then we'd all turn around and look and see if it hopped up. But, so I don't know why he does that. Sometimes he just wants to build our faith and have us practice, And so I had another encounter. Actually, like I said, I'm a birth attendant, and I was at a birth.
Mm-hmm.
And during the birth went great. Everything was amazing. But when they went to go cut the cord, the baby actually coded and she went into cardiac arrest. And it was literally the grace of God that I was even allowed.
So you're in the operating room?
Yes.
And you're a doula?
Yes.
And you're not allowed to be there, but you were there?
Yes.
Wow. That is the grace of God.
Yes. So, and I was there and actually they didn't kick me out either. So I was still allowed in that room. Usually I'm the first one kicked out when there's some kind of an emergency. And I was allowed in the room and I just kept going back and forth between the mom and the daughter. And they worked on her at least 9 minutes. I can't remember if it was longer or not. But during that time, you know, I would pray for the mom and she would ask me, so is my baby okay? And I would say, yes, she's great. She's just having a little tough time. And then I would go over and I would pray for the baby. But then eventually they stopped working on her. And I had an opportunity to go lay hands on her.
So how long had this baby been in cardiac arrest and the heart not beating? What would you guess?
I'm going to say at least 9 minutes.
9 minutes.
I want to say 11, but it was at least 9 minutes. And so I know when I went over, they'd stopped working on her. And I laid hands on her and I prayed. And
how did you
God
pray? How did you pray?
I just commanded her to rise up. I commanded death to go.
That's what Jesus did, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. We have authority over that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just commanded her to live.
And then what happened to the baby? So you
she
prayed
breathed.
This word and she breathed.
Yeah, she took a big deep breath.
Come on.
And we all were like, yay!
Wow.
Yes, it was pretty amazing.
Wow. So this child was raised from the dead,
yes.
Right in an operating room. That's absolutely amazing. So I just want to stop like right now. One of the hardest verses, I've talked to super faithful people about like, you know, this verse. And a lot of people have a hard time with this. It's John 14:12. Jesus said, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do and will do greater ones than these because I'm going to the Father. Mm-hmm. Like Jesus, you know, he's like, oh, my ceiling of faith. All right. The things I did, I'm going to break that and you're going to do bigger things than me. And I remember thinking to myself, maybe he means like, all believers in history will do more quantitative works. I looked at St. Thomas Aquinas' commentary on the Gospel of John, and he says, no, it's not quantity, it's quality. You're going to do bigger things than he did. So, like, I'm thinking, man, I want to know what that looks like.
And yes.
You're the first person I met that's raised someone from the dead. And you're just like, yeah, it's not me. It's Jesus
yes.
living within us. We have Jesus, the hope of glory,
yes.
living within us.
Yeah, and it's the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is within us.
Yeah, it's like, and it doesn't say, you know, amen, I say to you, the priests or the bishops, it says, whoever believes.
Yes.
Whoever believes. So we have this, like, believer's gifting that, like, flows with us from our faith in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And faith comes through hearing, like Romans 10:13 says. So I pray that everyone that's listening to the show right now, that I pray that your faith would increase on what God wants to do, not just in Melissa, but in you,
yes.
because you have Jesus, the hope of glory. The spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, like Paul says, lives within you. So I pray that everyone would just see an impossible circumstance and raise faith. And so many of the people that have emailed us about the show have been saying, wow, my faith has increased here. What call has God put on your life? Can you we got to go to break in like a minute or two. What call has God put on your life with you and your family?
Well, we really want to raise up families. That's
mm-hmm.
that's the call on our heart. My husband is, you know, that is something that is very near and dear to him is his family. And it's very obvious on how he has brought all of our children up. And so we have grabbed a hold of families in the greater Cincinnati area who have a lot of children who just want to know what it looks like to be a husband or a wife. What does it look like to have children? How do you honor one another? What does it look like to honor? Teach the parents how to honor the children to honor the parents. What does it look like to minister together? What does it look like to go out and spread the love of God to the hurting world? How do you do that? How do you do that with a screaming 2-year-old?
Yes.
How do you do that? And so that's pretty much what we do. We like to mentor families.
Yeah, like I've never seen this before. I'm a full-time minister and like it's oftentimes like, you know, the kids get babysitters mm-hmm. and then the parents go off and do it and then they don't pass it on to the kids.
Yes.
But, and you know, it's not just like, you know, there's what we can do naturally. You know, we can all be good and kind and people can, you know, pat us on the back for being pious and everything. But then there's this ministry that you'll do the works that I did in greater works. Mm-hmm. And I you're the first family I saw that's actually doing this. When we come back from the break, can you share with us a little bit, you know, of the, specifically how you're doing that, how you're raising up your family to live a supernatural lifestyle?
Sure.
All right. So you're listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. And we come back for our final segment. Melissa's going to share more about her ministry. So stay tuned. Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. My name is Patrick Rice, and I'm joined in the studio with me with Melissa Pallotta, who's been sharing her amazing testimony of encountering Jesus, of being called to raise the dead and to do healings in the name of Jesus. And then finally, her main assignment now is to raise up kingdom families that are living, you know, our supernatural faith that we have. So, yes. Melissa, tell me like more about this. Okay.
Yeah. So my husband really had it on his heart just to minister to family.
And your husband's Sean.
Sean, awesome. My husband. He's great. He's a great guy. And this is really the call on his heart is to teach us how to minister together. Mm-hmm. So, and we do it. It should be a daily thing. I wake up in the morning. I focus on the Lord. I ask him, okay, Lord, who do you want me to minister to today? I don't just go to the grocery store. Mm-hmm. I don't just go to Costco. I don't just go to the gas station. I don't just go to, you know, the UDF. Mm-hmm. I minister everywhere I go. So I will ask the Lord, what do you want from me today? And I will go to the store and I will minister to that person that he's sharing that with.
So he'll give you images.
Yes.
Talk about the mode that you receive where you hear God's voice.
I just like, I will see certain things. Like he sometimes gives me words. Like he'll say, Melissa, go to the gas station. And I'll say, okay. And I want you to go to this gas station. Well, God, that's out of my way. And he goes, Well, I still want you to go to that gas station. And I'll go and I'll start pumping my gas and there's nothing going on. So, I'll say, okay, Lord, why am I here? There's nobody else pumping gas. And he'll go pay for your gas inside. And I'll go in. And then the Lord might speak to me or share his heart about somebody mm-hmm. in there. Might just happen to be the guy that the cashier. And I'll share that word with him, that love message from the Father to that person. And, you know, they get saved.
Wow. Which means they invite Jesus into their heart and can give their life to Christ.
Yes, that's
that's
it.
That's awesome. Yeah, this is awesome translation. You know, what you said, like, you know, God shares his heart with me. And I mean, like, this is not something that should hear. You shouldn't hear that and then be like, oh my gosh, like that's unusual, because Paul prayed that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened.
Yes.
So we have like, and then he also says like, you know, we have the mind of Christ. We have the eyes of our heart being enlightened by the love of God, knowledge of Jesus. So
yes.
God will speak to our heart, and then we just need to be obedient and just release that word.
Yes, and it makes shopping very fun.
So and then your kids get to witness all this, right?
Yeah,
and participate. Can you share a story of like your kids participating in this this ministry?
Sure. My daughter was playing softball. She used to play softball, and so one of the team members' moms had MS, and she'd been in a wheelchair for about 2 years. And so after the last game, wow, the Lord was just speaking to me about her, and he prompted us to go pray for her. So all of us, you know, all the kids, we go and we lay hands on her and we pray for her. And the amazing thing is that she got out of her wheelchair.
Wow. Come on.
Yes, it was awesome.
Yeah. Wait, so you're saying Jesus is bigger than MS?
Yes.
Yes.
He's huge.
Guys, this is the point of the show, that God wants to break into impossible circumstances. I believe personally, Melissa, that the revival that God wants for the Catholic, you know, for the Catholic Church, for the Christian churches all together, all communities, you know, what JP2, he called the new springtime in the church. So, you know, Pope John Paul II, he lived, you know, he was the Pope from the late 70s up to 2005. During the 90s, some of the darkest parts of culture, he said that, like, there's a new springtime coming.
Yes.
People heard this and were like, I see a culture of death. In fact, JP2, you wrote an encyclical condemning the culture of death. And now in this darkness, you're calling forth this awesome light. I see that, like, what this is going to look like, the only way, my wife and I are convinced that there can be a new springtime, a new life of Christianity on the earth, is for God's power to come through.
Yes.
Just like it came at the beginning.
Yes.
And so, like, I don't think we should be, you know, as Catholics listening, we shouldn't be surprised that God starts to show up and manifest in power through the little old me's that are watching softball games, right?
Yes.
And one thing that I really want to comment on from your talk here, you said, I heard the Lord saying this to me. Mm-hmm. Jesus said in John 5:19, the Son of Man could do nothing on his own except what he see, only what he sees the Father doing. So.
Yes.
I mean, don't think that, you know, like, we have Jesus in us, but it doesn't mean, you know, we have, like, the spiritual power. We can do whatever we want. We are submitted to Father God.
Yes.
So it's, Father, what do you want to do? I want to be your instrument. And when we start to get revelation of what God wants to do in these circumstances, then we have the authority to do them. So pray, ask God, what do you want me to do today? And when you start to get the prompting of the Holy Spirit, go do it and see what happens. And then you get to find out if that's God's voice, and then you get to hear him better. I love it.
My husband had a really fun thing to do with the kids one day. So he meets with other men and their boys. They would meet once a week together. And so they took the tithe and they split it up into $50 bills. And they gave a 50 to each one of the children. And then they were to pray and ask the Father who they were supposed to give it to and where they were supposed to go. So, like, literally, they would say, okay, I see a woman with a red shirt on. She's blonde, heavier set at Walmart. So they got in the car and they went to Walmart and found the woman, that heavy set blonde with the red shirt on. And they told him how much the Lord loved him and how they were led to her. And they handed her the 50.
Wow.
Yes.
So cool.
It's so
fun. It just matched up.
And it builds the children's faith to know that they are hearing from the creator of earth.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus said, you know, I'm the good shepherd.
Yes.
My sheep hear my voice. And I think sometimes as adults, we fall in this trap that, you know, we can learn theology, we can read the Bible, and then we just get to intellectually do the things that we learn about. But Jesus isn't calling us to that kind of adult faith. He actually calls us to the opposite. He calls us to be like children, to have childlike faith. So you've rediscovered what childlike faith is, and you're helping reinforce that in your kids in this family ministry. Can you talk about how you're doing that?
Just ministering everywhere we go.
Yeah.
Like I said, I mean, everywhere we go, the first thought is, okay, why are we here? Even if we're going to, hey, let's go have fun and go to the pool. We know that there will be some kind of an encounter with the Lord there, that he will want us to show the love to somebody. Even in good times and bad. So you get a flat tire. I don't go, oh my goodness, I just got a flat tire. I go, oh, so
God's
why
got a
am
plan.
I here? So God, why did you stop me? And because obviously I'm here for a reason. Do I need a tow truck? Is it the tow truck guy? You know, because we're on his mission. We are to do what he is calling us to do.
Are you ever afraid to be wrong? Because I think that kind of fear is what cripples a lot of people.
You know, that's a great question. I would say that if I'm wrong, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
He'll take care of it. If I'm not hearing correctly, or if I don't think I'm hearing correctly, he's just always been sweet to me, and he just takes care of it.
It's almost like you're covered by love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If it's not, if it's about you, it might be a problem.
Right.
But if it's about him, he's got our back.
Yes.
That's so good.
Yeah.
My son and I, we just started doing this recently too. We were out, and I'm inviting him to, like, talk to people. We were at the library. I kid you not. All right. We see a woman with a cane, like a mm-hmm. blind cane. And we just walked up to her, like, Joseph, you want to pray with her? And Joseph's 9 right now. And he's like, yeah. So we go up to her. I'm like, hi, what's your name? And she's like, oh, my name is, you know, she says her name. And I say, hey, is there anything we can pray for you for? And she's like, yeah, you know, I'm blind. I was like, oh, you know, because you want to respect people. You don't want to be like, oh, let me touch your eye. You know?
Yes, definitely.
So she's like, I'm like, well, can we pray for you? And she's like, yeah. Well, I said, can we lay hand on your eye? She's like, yeah, my left eye is like pretty much completely blind. I can kind of see out of my right eye a little bit. So we laid our hands on her left eye. We just prayed like Jesus, you know, really quick. And then took the hands off and I said, can you check it out? She covered her other eye and then she said, oh my gosh, I can see your son. He's right in front of me, right?
Yay.
I see like an image of him. She didn't have perfect sight, but like God broke through right there.
Yes.
Like, and then we preach how much God loves her right there. No, what if we didn't have an agenda? Mm-hmm. What if we just did the works of Jesus? And life becomes an adventure. So as you're hearing this, I pray that, you know, you'd have this renewed desire to go do the things of God, to bring your family into it. Is there anything else you have?
Yeah. The other thing I would like to encourage everybody with is that, you know, I might pray for somebody for healing and nothing happens.
Yeah.
You know, I might pray for somebody. Those little buggies, I don't know what they're called, but the little cars that you can get and drive around the store with. You know? That's like your first clue, like the cane, the little car, right? And, I might pray for them and I might not see anything, but then run into them 6 months later and they did get healed.
Wow.
I just didn't see it in front of me. So just because I don't see results, it's not about something that I do anyway. It's about Jesus. And so he might want to do it at his timing.
Yeah, it's hard because, you know, we're talking a lot about healing.
Mm-hmm.
And I could hear some people out there thinking to themselves, you just talk about healing all the time, you know. And we've had a few people talk about healing a lot. But like, what kind of emphasis did Jesus have on healing? I mean, it was all the time.
I
feel like if we want to walk like Jesus, we need to have the same. If we need to value the things that Jesus valued, and he valued healing, and if we don't value healing the way he did it, I don't think we're going to walk in it. So, I mean, this is awesome, and I think, you know, our show is winding down, and the coolest thing is Jesus, I believe, is healing the body of Christ. The bride is coming together, and so I just want to pray that God would continue to heal, because, you know, you and I, we're not of the same denomination, but we're united in the kingdom. And we know that God's doing something. We came together in this awesome ministry of Love Dayton, and we got to see the kingdom move in power. So can we just close in prayer? Will you pray with us, Melissa?
Yes.
All right. So we're going to pray for, we're going to pray for anyone who needs physical healing, but we're going to pray for the body of Christ to come together. So I'm going to start. You can finish. Name the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So Father, you sent Jesus because you so love the world. And Father, you brought him from heaven to earth, Lord, that we could bring heaven to earth as well through the power of the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, we love you. We praise you. Father, I pray that everyone that's suffering right now, we just pray for a release of heaven's healing over them in the name of Jesus. Father, we've seen you heal so many people. We've seen you bring the dead back to life so that you could be manifest in glory. So come, Holy Spirit, and I pray that you renew not only our bodies, but you renew the body of Christ. Amen.
Yes, I see somebody out there that's really struggling with smoking, and I just, I take authority over that spirit of addiction right now, and I break it off your life, and I just proclaim healing over your body, that your lungs won't even look like you've ever even smoked. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Father, we just give this all to you, and we just thank you for what you're doing, and we ask you to bring more increased and give us more power, and let that be led by your love. You're listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. I pray that you have the grace to receive and respond to every divine encounter that God brings to you today. To learn more about us or the show, or how you can share your life-changing encounter with our audience, please visit encounterradio.org. That's encounterradio.org.